Husky fans, it's Evie and Leah back with Pick and Roll. We are coming off of UW's final homestand, and they went 2-0, which is unexpected, but awesome. So we got a win against Oregon, 74-66, and a win over ninth-ranked Oregon State, 61-51. So, yeah, this weekend, in my opinion, is the best I've seen them play in a long time, a very long time.
Maybe all season.
What was that?
Maybe all season.
Oh, yeah, 100%. And I'm honestly very proud of them because it could have very well been another 0-2 weekend. And even though Oregon, obviously, the win against Oregon State was unprecedented. They were a top 10 team, so that was great. But even over Oregon, we were not necessarily expecting them to. We weren't expecting them to win because, just based on how they have been playing against the Arizona schools and even just the physical makeup of our team, like Oregon, even though they're 12th in the Pac-12, I believe they still have that over us. They have that 6'8" or 6'9". What's her name? Her name's Che.
Che. And then they also have Kennedy Basham, who are both over 6'6". So they had two players who were in the starting lineup that were enormous.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember like looking at them, I'm like, oh my God, they're huge. And I'm like, we beat this team and we kept them from doing too much damage. So I was just very impressed with how they played. They seemed like they were more aggressive overall and just more cuts to the basket, a little less of the just standing around the perimeter, waiting till the shot clock runs out and throwing up shots. There was a little bit of that, but it was not too much to affect anything. So anyways, I'll hand the floor over to you, Leah.
You're totally fine. Great analysis. I think with particular regard to the game against the Ducks, what I'm seeing on film is, to your point, less standing around. That's indicative in one number. We had 20 assists on 26 made shots. Oregon had 8 assists on 26 made shots. That means that you're getting open, that you're moving without the basketball, and that is how you get open. And so clearly some work had been done on that. And then we took care of the basketball. 11 turnovers and 16 points off of turnovers for the Dogs versus 18 turnovers for the Ducks, and they got 10 points off 11 Husky turnovers. So like creating your offense in that way. Another area that I was really impressed, particularly with the coaching staff, is they mixed up the lineup a little bit. They put in Olivia Anderson into the game against the Ducks. Olivia is 6'6" and has not really seen the court very much. She is going to be probably a really good player, probably needs to put on some weight and just get some really good low post coaching, but she has the raw talent there. And against the Ducks, we really need size. And she played 12 minutes. She made all 5 of her field goals and added a rebound and had 2 personal fouls in 12 minutes. 10 points in 12 minutes. That's 10 points that we normally would not get at all. Additionally, Ari Long, not very often used sub, played 7 minutes, hit all 3 of her field goals, including 2 rebounds, and had made 7 points. So that's 17 points off the bench with those two players, where normally we're getting 0. And in a game that the Huskies win by 8 points, that makes a difference in the basketball game. So making sure that you're getting rebounds when you can and hitting your open shots, that's all we can ever ask these kids to do. We did not win the rebounding battle, but I am less concerned about that if you're making really good cuts and passes and getting in the passing lanes and creating turnovers, because they had one less shot than us, and they had 6 more rebounds because they turned the ball over so much.
Yeah.
So all in all, I'm really happy and proud, as you said, of the kids for showing a huge improvement from one week to the next. Oregon is on a huge losing streak right now. So as much as I said, I did not expect the Huskies to beat the Ducks. And I still, a week ago, I fully believed that. I also knew they were completely capable of doing that. But Oregon had this big advantage in the size department. So Olivia coming in and scoring 10 points, huge off the bench. And I'm really impressed with that. So I'm happy that the coaching staff recognized that. And I'm really happy for Olivia that she was able to have such a good game.
Yeah. I actually for both games, I was very pleased with how the players and the coaching staff, how everyone executed the fourth quarter stretch, because that's obviously been an issue up until now. Both of these games, I was a little worried when the came around. I was like, oh, like what is gonna happen? Oregon game, I'd say our free throws saved us. We got about like 12 points. I believe so. And that made the difference. I think the men could learn from a thing or two from that because
They hit
many of
15
their
and
close
16
games.
shots. They were 94% nearly from the free throw line on Friday night. I mean, if you're in a close basketball game, that's going to win you the game almost every single time. And in crunch time, in the final 5 to 8 minutes of the game was in the balance. And Washington was able to score points off of second chance points, getting offensive rebounds, having them directly lead to points, getting in the passing lanes, causing turnovers. And our leaders really stepped up. You know, we had Delaia Daniels come through big time in the fourth quarter. Everybody out there was getting really good steals, but you know, mostly like they're hitting their free throws.
They were.
Hannah Steins was like nails from the line, so was Savia, so was Lele. So no complaints there. There's some things they definitely need to clean up, especially going on the road to the mountain schools, but save for this last weekend, they've actually played better on the road than they have at home. So who knows? Anything can happen.
They had a, I don't have the exact number right in front of me, but they won by 8 points, and I'm pretty sure how many free throws did they make? I'm pretty sure it was about 12. I don't have the number in front of me, but that it just I'm proud of the way they just, were knocking them down, and it really made a difference there. And that
Absolutely.
also just goes to show how great of shooters they are, so
It also shows that, like, you know, our last podcast, we talked about like we need to get to the free throw line
yeah.
because
Oh yeah.
and large, we have kids who can hit their shots, but you don't get to the free throw line if you're not driving to the bucket, if you're not asking for contact. So, one of the things that we can do going into these games against these really good teams is making sure that we prioritize getting to the line, especially if the ball's not going through the hoop. Let it go through the hoop at the free throw line. Make, you know, Xavier Sellers, Jaden Noble, all able to drive the basketball. Lauren Schwartz also. Make that a priority, especially if the offense isn't flowing, because look at that number. I'm like, no complaints. And generally speaking, all year long, they've shot about 70% from the free throw line. 93.8 is definitely a high one, but I mean, I'll still take 75% from as a team. So.
That's spot on 100%. They need to be getting to the line more, obviously, because look what happened. And the Oregon State game. Again, I was worried when the fourth quarter came around. I'll admit, but it seemed that okay, what I was thinking when I was watching is that they just need to stop Oregon State from shooting threes. Like at least just don't give them three pointers, at least especially like way further into the game where they're like a couple minutes left. So I feel like they did a pretty good job of just keeping that under wraps, not giving them too many points. And yeah, that wasn't the best analysis of what happened, but
Against Oregon State,
yeah.
I felt like the defense really set the tone.
Yeah.
Both
Well,
really,
yeah.
but particularly with Oregon State, it didn't seem like they were quite prepared for the pressure onslaught that Washington was going to particularly start the game with, because Oregon State found themselves in a hole early, and it was one that they never truly crawled back from. They got as close as I think 4 or 3, but never closer than that. And I was proud of the girls for, you know, withstanding the fight from Oregon State and then coming back and punching back. That's grit. That's the thing that's been lacking against, you know, you talk about your Arizona State game where you had a 14-point lead, or the Arizona game where you had a 5-point lead late in the first overtime and lost. So this is something that we're seeing, like a really bad moment in the Arizonas, and seeing it turn into positivity at home against a really good basketball team that is very well coached. So I was really happy about that, and seeing some adjustments moving into halftime of just making sure that we're in coverage for those 3-point shooters.
Yeah.
But they had to, Oregon State had to have one of their role players kind of play a key role for them, because Talia Vonalofen was being covered. We, for the most part, their key players were not able to get loose, which is a credit to our scout and a credit to the kids working really hard on defense, which I'm really happy about.
Yeah, you said that better than I did, but 100% defense held it under control. Didn't give them any three balls in the, you know, because they have shooters too. And yeah, that was I, again, like I said, the best I've seen them play, I think, in like, not forever, but probably this season.
A while, yeah, because I mean, this is the best we've played in terms of a really good opponent, starting strong, finishing strong, because even though the Huskies beat USC, USC got it down to the wire in LA. We tried to give it away. And I think if USC had had literally one more minute, they probably would have won the basketball game. I don't think that would have made a difference against the Huskies, against Oregon State. I think that Washington was just too much on that night for Oregon State. It's hard to win a basketball game on the road when you're OSU shooting 35%. All that said, they were missing their best player, who is Reagan Beers, who is being fitted, I think, for a face mask because I think she has a broken nose. That's what I think is happening. So Oregon State will bounce back. I think they're hosting Stanford this week, and expect them to show that they are angry about what happened at Heckhead. So all that to say, they're very well coached. They're a very good team, and Washington played as well as we have seen them play all season and got a very deserving win.
Yeah. So do you think that, okay, given who we're playing next week, Utah and Colorado, do you think that they're going to keep this up? I guess is my question.
I would expect Washington to be competitive. I am not going to sit here and say Washington is likely to beat number 13 or number 18, Colorado or Utah, respectively. I'm not sure that that can happen, but I like the two games in a row where they had really good defense, scrappy rebounding, getting in the passing lanes and hitting open shots, hitting teammates back cutting, all of that stuff that we need to see to win basketball games. So is it likely? No, but do I expect them to play within arm's length of those two teams, given what we saw last weekend? Absolutely. Yes, I do. I think that we should expect to be very close to both of those teams. We're going to be at a disadvantage, particularly against Colorado in height.
Yeah.
But how do you combat that? By overplaying passing lanes, by being scrappy defensively, which they did against both of the teams this weekend. So we have the blueprint for it. It'll be a little bit differently against a really good team in Colorado and another really good team at Utah. But I expect them not to get blown out.
Yeah.
That would be my reasonable expectation. If they can pull out one of them, that's fantastic, but I'm not counting on it. I am also equally counting on them to make a good showing in those two teams.
Yeah. So this coming up weekend is their last weekend of conference play. If they, tell me if I'm wrong, if they win at least one game and then win at least two games in the Pac-12 tournament, is it two or three?
Right now, the national, like the Charlie Cream, who does the bracketology, he has like last four in and then first four out, like the first teams that would be kicked out of the bracket, and then next four out. So like the top four that don't make it, and then the next four that don't make it. Washington is in that next group of four. So they're like one of the top eight teams that's not going to make the bracket as of right now. The way to change that is wins against good teams. So Washington beats either out Colorado or Utah. I am not sure that they're in, but they're probably in the first four out.
Right.
And they follow it up by winning 1 to 2 games, probably have to win two in the conference tournament. I think you probably find yourself in the tournament as like one of the last teams, and you might have to have a play-in spot. Like you might be in a 13 seed playing in Charlotte, North Carolina against another like mediocre team to get into the big dance. So that's nothing to be ashamed of, especially since it has been 7 years since the Huskies made the tournament at all. That would
Yep.
be great. And at the same time, the work that they did not do against winnable teams makes their road a little bit tougher. It's not impossible, but it's going to be tough.
Yeah. That's it sucks because of what you just said. The if we had won at least even most of those multiple games, we would have absolutely been in. But also it goes to show how big that win against Oregon State was, apparently, since we could even be talking about this, because last episode we were talking about how in the WNIT.
I think
Crazy.
what we're shifting to now is that very likely Washington, I think all they have to do is win one game in the conference tournament and they'd be a shoo-in for the WNIT. If it's a best case scenario, if they beat both the mountain schools this weekend and then win 2 games against, or 2 to 3, let's call it, in the conference tournament, which would be unprecedented, I think that they would be not necessarily like a slam dunk in, but they would probably not be in the play-in line. They'd probably be like a 10 seed playing a 7 seed somewhere like in probably Storrs, Connecticut. But getting in the tournament's a big deal. It's a status of the program and saying that we're on an upward trajectory. So having a good showing the last week of regular conference play and then trying our best to squeak out at least one win in the conference tournament is where the mindset needs to be right now, and I'm sure that's where it's at.
So I guess we can I don't know if you realize it, but my prediction is they'll win one game. I don't know against one and one. I really don't see them beating both the mountain schools.
No, I don't either.
I
I'm gonna say they're gonna lose to Colorado. Colorado just lost a squeaker at UCLA. Very, very low, close game, but low scoring game. Teams didn't play well, and Colorado's gonna want to get that bad taste out of their mouth. I think Washington, if they play well, can beat Utah. I felt like they had a good showing in the first quarter against Utah, and then Delea got in foul trouble. So my prediction is if they beat a team in the mountains, it's going to be Utah, not Colorado. And right now, as it stands, Washington would be playing Arizona in the first round of the Pac-12 championship. And that would be great because that would avenge one of the worst losses I've seen Washington have, of like the triple overtime loss in Tucson a couple weeks ago. That would be great.
Yeah. That I think your prediction is was exactly mine the last time we previewed the Mountain Schools. I remember saying, oh, they never seem to be Colorado, so if I have to pick
Right.
Utah, but who knows, maybe it'll be different this time. But yeah,
Totally.
that's probably a safe bet. If they're gonna win one, it'll probably be Utah. I would put my money on that. So,
Probably twice.
yeah, I do think I know that we overall, I'm thinking way ahead, but I know we have to think about, well, not we, but the coaching staff have to think about, changes in terms of personnel, getting more size, getting more post players. But I don't know, seeing the way our team played this last weekend, it's like, they have so much potential. They're really good. They just sometimes it just doesn't.
And I mean, one of the things that
They
to keep in
are.
mind, and I have to keep reminding myself of this myself, is that they are young.
They're very exact. I was just about to say that. They're very
Yeah,
young.
they're really, I mean, and what's frustrating about that is that you go through big lulls that we've seen this season of just like, this is frustrating to watch because I know they can play a lot better. And then it clicks and you see a weekend like we just saw.
Yeah.
So if we can ride that, and this is what we're going to see the rest of the season, could be great. Disappointing because obviously, like, I wouldn't have been upset if we had lost to Oregon State had we beaten Cal twice, had we beaten Arizona State twice, had we beaten Arizona in triple overtime.
Yeah.
And beating Oregon State probably erases two of those losses in terms of the bad resume for the bracketology. But if you just do what you're supposed to do, you don't have to erase bad losses. So.
Oh, well, I can't change the past, so
Right. I
let's just.
know. I have a hard time looking back and being like, how could you not win that game? But they have a great challenge ahead of them, and all the pressure is on those other teams. They can't lose that game because Colorado just lost to UCLA. If they lose twice this weekend, they're probably going to lose their four seed, which means they don't get to host in the tournament. They have a lot to play for.
They
And
do.
when you have a lot to play for, sometimes you play tight.
Yeah.
Sometimes you don't hit your shots that you should make. And Washington is playing with no pressure because they have nothing to lose. And that's really difficult to play a team with nothing to lose. It's also senior weekend for those two teams. So,
Right.
like, lots of emotions, lots of expectations, lots of nerves, and like, they have to win. Washington has no such pressure. So loose, 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 play for each other, play to win, and see what happens.
Yeah. So, yeah, what else is there any, I mean, we've already been talking about some of the Pac-12 teams a little bit, but what else should we be on the lookout for? Not that it directly matters to you, Dub, but
It sort of does. I mean, like, I always like to
it
watch
does.
good basketball.
Yeah.
Oregon State has the marquee game of the week in terms of just who they get to play. They're hosting Stanford, so it's 11 against 4 on Thursday, basically the same time the Huskies are playing, and that's going to be a really good game. Oregon State, despite the fact that the Huskies beat them, is very, very good and very well coached, especially just their guard play, actually, because it feels like for a long time they've always had really good post play, which they generally do. And when Reagan Beers comes back, we can really see that. But they have the advantage over Stanford at guard. So I fully believe Oregon State can and should win that game. And that'll be really good for their confidence, all that. So that's like the only game against two ranked teams all weekend. Everybody else is kind of playing the like a top ranked team against a lesser team. So I don't expect a whole lot of week, sorry, a whole lot of upsets this week. However, Arizona just beat Stanford at Maples, and Arizona is hosting the LA schools this weekend. Don't be surprised if something crazy goes down in Utah. Sorry, not Utah, in Tucson this weekend. That would be interesting.
Would.
It'll be interesting to see who wins against Cal and Oregon. Weirdly, I hope Oregon wins because I just can't stand the fact that Cal beat us twice and we beat
Yeah.
Oregon, so whatever. But that'd be great. That'd be super because Cal's probably going to lose to Oregon State. So if they could lose twice this weekend, that would be great. But nothing besides the Oregon State Stanford game, there's not a whole lot of excitement in the Pac-12 in terms of two ranked teams playing each other.
Yeah, well, that's all I got.
I don't think there's a whole lot else to say other than like we're happy that last weekend they really righted the ship and proved both me and Evie wrong. We were joking in the pre-show that like they won twice because of how disappointed Evie and I were on the podcast last week. So I guess we screwed them up because we were singing their praises and I guess it's called the podcaster's jinx, right? They call it the broadcasting jinx is when someone talks about how good of a free throw shooter somebody is and then they proceed to brick a free throw.
Yeah.
So hopefully we don't have that effect on them.
Oh my God. I hope not. Or we may be having another tough week, but
Well, wouldn't be the first, like, I mean, wouldn't be the first time. And hopefully if they lose, that it just will be close losses that they can learn from.
yeah, exactly. Anyways, thanks everyone for listening. We hope you enjoyed and go dogs.
Go Dawgs, beat the Mountain Schools.